All participants are now unmuted.
Hey, who's sleeping?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, it's Lou. Can you hear?
Now, have you heard such a buffet of super stringy sugar before?
No.
Stringy sugar.
No.
No. The string. Syrupy. Yes, it was.
Kind of similar, but 50 kinds of snow, Bert. Did you like that, Bert?
Yes.
The greatest set we ever heard up there. Classic.
Yes, yes.
Awesome.
You remind me of how I forgot what music sounded like, Bob.
We can't even remember fucking music. That's how bad it is.
Yeah. Well, there's some great stuff. Of course, Northern Soul. You were playing some Northern Soul in there. That was really nice. I forgot about
that. Yeah, I have. I was just clicking through my list wherever the word Northern was. Bill put in the word Northern. Every once in a while, I just clicked through Northern. You got all the songs. Then it became Popcorn. A whole bunch of those were listed. Easy to find.
Yeah.
They're all together.
Yeah.
And Bert, your voice is coming from Iceland. It's all bubbly.
Okay, well, I have to try to call in from another server, but I'm using the server in Switzerland right now, so I'll try another one.
So, Bert, did you like the way Zappa grounded it?
Yes. Yes.
That was Montreal. Called Montreal. Okay, so, anybody got anything to talk about or I'll start doing music again? It's a threat.
If you've got a blank space, Bob, can you play that video I sent you? That David Bowie interview.
No, I don't want to do any talking. I like talking, and none of that David Bowie. Anyways, what was I saying about this music? So, did you find the popcorn irritating after a while? Too many strings?
It won't be
held against you.
It sounds. Some of the tunes are very much like 60s TV shows that we are turned back to, my eye on.
The black stuff wasn't on TV shows. I don't recall that at all. Not that I saw much, but this was music industry. This wasn't... they didn't play that kind. They played dinky music in the sound things. White man music.
The TV shows. There were jingles.
Maybe it's only when we see the 60s or 50s portrayed in TV nowadays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay. They tend to play oldie. Yeah, they tend to take the actual music of the day. That's actually what...
Yeah.
They got away with that in movies for the last 30 years. Many movies are just neat music, you know? Pieces. What's his name does that a lot? The guy who does the mafia movies. Marvin Gaye or what's his name?
Cohen.
Robert De Niro
Cohen.
And who?
Cohen Brothers.
No, the Godfather. What's his name? Marty something?
Scorsese.
He takes advantage of music. I think he did that with that neat one about all those guys, De Niro and Pacino, they all were in a movie together. That was their first movie.
Goodfellas?
No, long, 1972 about. I can look it up.
Wow.
It was a great movie.
He
was one of the first to do a lot of music. Do you remember that, Bert?
Well, it sets the stage.
Yeah.
Scorsese, yeah. It sets the... You're instantly put in a place in a circumstance and
through
your frequency.
Something?
I'm reading your mind.
Reading.
Yeah, they put things into movies. Let me see.
Godfather.
Mean Streets. 1973, Mean Streets. That was his break.
Mean Streets.
Yeah, that was an awesome movie. And of course, he played a lot of music, and gradually everybody did that. They just play a lot of music.
and Tarantino has gone on to...
Yeah, a little bit, but
almost
the point is that these guys got a, they mixed their media. They really weren't pure movies anymore. They were enhancing it with direct, great music that people didn't hear the first time, unless you were a connoisseur of it, like Scorsese is.
American Graffiti, would you count that?
Yeah, that was the same year, 73. That's like a part of that trend.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, I said Scorsese was 72 or 73?
72, I think you said.
Yeah, but it's 73, Mean Streets.
Is it? Let me check. Yeah. What did I just do? Wikipedia, Scorsese.
Harvey Keitel and Robert De Niro.
Mean Streets was 73. I know Graffiti was 73, so they were the same year. And they both were, you know, big movies. Because they had the music, man. Music. Okay, so, Bert, did it sound too much similar to the popcorn songs?
No, Bob. Maybe it's because I'm just haven't heard good music in a while. It was all good to me. But maybe if someone re-listened to it, it may sound like it was all the same. But, yeah, I forgot how music sound, man.
It was bubbly candy, just roaring along. And you never heard that kind of music played sequentially without station ID like that.
Yeah, that's the unique feature we have here.
Yeah.
No commercial.
Are you people, anybody dancing to the music?
Yay.
Hey, Bobby.
You were? Did you say Bert? You were?
Yeah, a lot of head bopping and feet tapping.
Yeah.
Feet tapping.
Yeah.
A little swirl here and there.
My non-physical was doing the West Side Story dances.
Yeah. Okay, so you had that stuff, early 60s Northern Soul and popcorn. Then the mid 60s is the next sequence I play is all that amazing stuff by the Yardbirds. And, I play this buzzing early psychedelic garage band sequence. That's powerful.
You know, that late 60 music, it reminds me of the Vietnam War for some reason. When I hear that music, it makes me think of the Vietnam War for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, which music? The one I'm just talking about?
The Yardbirds. The Yardbirds. Yeah.
Well, maybe it was played in 70s movies about Vietnam.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. But the frenetic pace of Vietnam, which really didn't get going until 68, 69, 70, it hit the public's mind with the Tet Offensive in early 68, when the North Kong were invading the South. And then a couple months later, Johnson resigned, then Martin Luther King was shot in April, then Robert Kennedy was shot in June. But this music came a little couple years earlier, but because 68 is the Jefferson Airplane and that stuff. But yeah. People may prefer that music to show the 60s mood.
Yeah.
You know, the one you're talking about. If I think, let's see.
Vietnam defined the late 60s, the counterculture movement in Vietnam. So anything that sounds late 60s will evoke that.
Yes, that's probably what it is with me, Bart, because it was just something when I hear that, it makes me think of that.
Well, how old were you?
68, I was 9 years old.
Right, see, so you didn't really know about it, but your memory is a media collage. That's the Android meme. The meme of Vietnam has all those other media association with it.
Plus, I remember watching the news. They always had body counts. That was something significant as a child. I remember watching the newscast. They would always make a body count. That was a big thing in the news.
Mm. Anybody want to guess is 99 male or female or spirit?
A unicorn.
Yeah, I like what they said. They said, Oh, thanks, Bob. I requested that song a year ago. I think it was Bobby Day. Is that the song, 99, Bobby Day? Bobby Day sang this song. She said, I request that. Does Dylan evoke a lot for you, like a Rolling Stone?
The early Dylan, yes.
No, that early one, Like a Rolling Stone, which Grail Marcus wrote a whole book, and now it's the greatest song ever in pop rock.
The old guys? They would play that, Bill would play that after the old Cash Flow or Payday archives, that song would come on.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's what it was for me.
Yeah, 99 is nice for later in the day. Bobby D. Is that what you like, 99? Bobby Day. That you said you requested. That's what I want to know. Is it Bobby Day or is there some other song in that cluster? Let's see. Bobby Day, I Need Her. Then Ed Townsend, Stay With Me. So, she says, I love that song, Bob. I asked for it a year ago. Yippers. So, is that it, 99? Come on, what's the song? It's amazing how hard it is to get anything out of you people. You're too spoiled.
What's the matter with you, 99?
Yeah, Agent 99.
That's Agent 99 for Get Smart. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And then there's... That's not it. Sorry.
Was that Ricardo?
No, it was... Yeah, I think it was Matthew. Looking for the bugs. Where are the bugs? They don't even connect. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. Anyways, here's... I can just see how that music drove kids crazy in the 50s. So good compared to the bullshit that they were growing up with in the first half of the 50s.
They're listening to that and all juiced up on malts, chocolate malts.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all fucked up on sugar.
Yeah.
So, CIA Man, that's 1967 for your archive mind. You see, they would read, the thugs down in the village would read leftist literature and get the whole Mae Bressel type of information that most people weren't thinking about in 65, 66. But it would be written up in the leftist press. Which would be not commercial. Wouldn't be commercial, that. Irving Stone, I.F. Stone was one of the main figures, but... you had to read that kind of stuff to see exposure of the CIA. The mainstream was all hypnotized by the CIA through James Bond movies.
Yeah, there was sort of an awareness to the lyrics. It sounded like Frank when you started playing it.
Yeah. Well, they were much sort of a mirror of the mothers in 65, 66. They both started about the same time. But they didn't have the musical skill of the mothers. But New York celebrate them more than Frank, the New York literate people. The Ron Rosenbaums.
It's probably because their song is a little more formulaic. Zappa would have been more all over the place.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
He could do formulaic.
Yes, but maybe not sound. So,
He had some weird sound level. He some had some unique timbre or pitch or something.
Yeah.
I love that where he goes, in some lyric, he's, I don't know if it's What's New Baltimore, but he's going along and then he goes, what the fuck? Yeah. Whoever wrote a lyric like that? What an incredible lyric.
Yeah, that's Zappa. That's Zappa. Yeah. Put something out of the ordinary into the music. That's what irritates a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going along and then he goes, what the fuck? And it's totally in sync with the rhythm or whatever. out of sync, but perfectly positioned.
Yeah. Yes.
For dithyrambic spectators.
Have you heard, Bob, those old vulgar blues songs?
Yeah. Never heard a lot of blues.
Well, there are songs that they were more blue, I guess you'd say.
Blue.
Yeah, like they were, let's see if I can find one.
Depressed?
I just want to say Sam came in. We've never heard from Sam.
Yeah.
He goes, where's Ion? Sam was forced to fucking speak. Been listening for 12 years. Finally he had to say something.
Yeah, let's see where Sam is. I saw that post. There he is, yeah.
What's that thing, Sam? Pity we all missed it. What did he miss? I know, but that does not usually stop you. Bob's Enlightening DJ, number 12. That's another new name. 12. Who's 12? Sam, where's Ion? We'll never hear from Sam again. And, you know, you got Menz and Hewn, H-E-W-N. He's a new guy. He's been around the last couple of weeks.
Right, Hewn, yeah.
Hewn. Okay, there's much to talk about. I'm gonna wait for a minute, but I think I'll play something. Like what 12 says. 12 is me, Bob. Look at that. They're so know who they are, they don't know there's other people who don't know them. Yeah, everybody knows who 12 is, who knows 12, but
one of 12.
We don't know who 12 is. You fucking interrupted the song. I had to stop the song for fuck's sake to deal with it. Okay, I'd like to introduce a special guest, someone I've known since 1985, around that period, played in my band way back then. Not many people knew I had a band back then. And this person is an old guy right now. And I ran into him digitally a few days ago. So we hadn't talked in decades. So I thought I'd get him to come on and talk about the good old days when we were creative for the ear. And they were able to make it. And I'd like to introduce that person. Roxy. Say a few words, Roxy. Totally set her up. Set Roxy up.
Are you wondering? Wow, who is that person?
Where are they? Who is it?
Yes, I was.
Oh.
Turned out Roxy, her song she wrote in 85, we're tuned into Dobbstown. Secret.
Yes, I listened to Faustus, The Darkness and the Light.
Yeah. Well, you've never changed.
The Secret Agents, The End of the World, The Automatic Transhumanism, Cyber Realities.
And she was only 18 years old.
I was into all these topics.
Because you were living in Washington under Reagan. That'll scare anybody into those kind of topics.
Yes, I was once with Nazi Reagan. Nazi Reagan.
Yeah, because they take the kids to the White House, right? They take you guys, special kids, to the White House?
Yes, in the Christmas time and in Eastern.
What did you think of her? What vibe did you get from her?
She seemed very nice. She was very elegant, very polite, very... That's just, she's an old school type of nice.
Yeah, polite. A bitch behind the scenes, but very nice. But this is Roxy. What was I saying about that? Oh, yeah. Because her father was in the CIA, they were allowed to see the Christmas tree. Well, they all CIA are called that. Military attaché.
Yeah, that's his cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the cover.
No, they have to be part of that. But I knew it because he had a lot of CIA manuals at home.
Manuals.
Like
survival.
How to survive with a knife, a rope, and I don't know what.
Really?
How to do a rebellion, how to manipulate the masses, stuff like that.
And was that before you went to Washington you saw them?
Yes, I already saw them before.
Yeah, Roxy's an MKUltra kid. She was used as a sex slave for the Bush White House later years.
Not really, but I have a fixation with castles.
The castle.
So maybe that's part of my programming.
Yeah. There you all. Thanked out in case
the castle program.
I think our encounter, I think, goes back, way back, way back.
Yeah, it was
because already my great-great-grandfather was in the Vatican. He was ambassador, and the daughters became nuns, and they were possessed by something. We cited the Bible for hours.
Yeah, typical aristocratic whack jobs.
Well, this world is really, really weird.
This what?
The world.
Today's world, this world in general. This world in general.
Yes, I mean, Chata was warning us about everything we're living now. Like he said, once they see this fake democracy is no longer...
Well, he's an MKUltra victim. Who the fuck talked to him all those years and told him about this stuff? Yours truly.
Yeah.
He was just talking my stuff. I tell him what to write music about. And you know, you look at the Uncle Meat booklet, which he organized in 67, but didn't come out till 69. He's got these little dwarfs serving Kool-Aid kind of MKUltra drinks to the senators in the booklet. He's got a whole MKUltra layout, and then he's an artichoke, and he says, I've just been killed by the government because I knew too much. He was just quoting me, for fuck's sake.
Yes, that's what we were discussing during the Clinton...
The office hours, yes.
Yes, and I said, we need crazy nuts like Clinton, because that's the way to rebel against the Matrix, you know, to make people think to think, to... And I was thinking, yes, that's why we need bots.
Yeah.
Because... I mean, you seem to be also like a crazy guy that is just lying and making up stuff, but
or not,
yeah.
I mean, if somebody comes and listens to Bob and he claims he's the dark soul and he's a bad and
I have another voice that claims that. Nobody can top that. I'm not saying it. This other fucking cracker voice is saying it.
Yeah, so, I mean, people would say, what type of crazy sect is this?
Yeah.
You know, like, what type of,
look at Sean
that's
Stone.
The name of
hey,
the
hey, hold on. Let me interact with you. Sean Stone, he has all these crazy Satanists, and I come on, and I get called nutcase. He's called nutcase. Like you just posted in Jersey, that stupid girl who thinks she's the Antichrist or ex-Antichrist, and she's saying that she's exposing everything. You know, you just posted today to me. You're listening to that chat, bro, or something.
I was listening to that. I wanted to ask him what he thinks about it because she's showing like some type of angel chart, but she says that's like the God chart in a way.
Yeah.
And in the center is like God and then the earth and then it has nine gates and nine in each gate.
They're all playing at what Ion spells out concretely. You see, we take their wacky, stupid memes, and Ion spells it out in detail, in exactitude, way beyond speculative imagination.
And 11 years earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I must explain to Sam, maybe he's going, where's Ion? Like, he wants me to tell him where Ion went. Well, Ion has, well, JW and Ion went to the bunker where we're going in stealth to fix it up for the King and Queen, Bob and Connie, to have a comfortable fucking environment. Okay? So we ain't telling you where we're going stealth, but it's being decorated, organized now. Which means, you know, any day now.
Right.
I will hear you say.
Well, you won't hear me say. All of a sudden it'll be just dead air static, you know.
No, that's when you're switching stations over to the monolith.
Well, we don't know. That sounds like a bit later. Well, it depends how bad it gets. Yes, if everything's wiped out pretty quickly, yes, that'll be it. But the, I will, no longer have a greeting line on the way home from the beach. No longer have, you know, fawning people. It's amazing. So, Roxy, talking about acting crazy, my stuff on the chart, the Holy Office, is a curriculum. You know what I mean? It's not crazy. It's a curriculum.
No, but I think that it's very important to have people like you that make people think and open their minds and see everything from different points of view, like in your chart.
Yes.
Like,
it's a tradition I'm part of.
Don't be fixed, because now that doesn't work anymore. With so much information, you cannot be a communist, a Catholic, or whatever you think you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you something. I have a lesson. There's this movie called The Wall Street Conspiracy. It came out in 2012. Someone sent it to me. I don't know. Maybe Roxy sent it. Somebody sent it to me earlier last week or something. So I watched it, and it proves that James and I upset the economy, closed it down, because my descriptions were accurate. I was saying, as Ian always says, that for the problem in the economy, just keep typing. Well, this documentary spells out something called naked short selling. And it started, started after the, in 1983, or maybe after 9-1-1. Somewhere in there, these guys figured out, as Ian, he does explain it well many hours ago, but basically, Wall Street, the people had a lot of money, who could, we're trying to figure out, how do you keep the economy going? How do you keep this virtual economy, this endless virtual exaggeration of profits that hardware people never saw? So it was all in the software. So they figured out to grab the shares of little businesses and sell them and then resell them and then resell them, and make millions of shares out of a little bunch of shares they got from a company. So they just kept typing and not keeping track of what the profit was. They didn't measure who owed what to anybody. They just kept typing and duplicating the shares. So it became huge figures and billions. And little people, their businesses, would then be attacked by journalists. The insider journalists would say, this company's bad and weak, and they'd drive the stock down. And eventually these little companies would have to go out of business. So they highlight three little companies who had very unique technology. One guy had a cancer cure, and how these guys destroyed those companies and destroyed the savings of millions of people and, their investments, what do they call it, the 401s or something, those things.
401k.
So, what? What'd you say?
401k.
Yeah. So, the mortgage thing, where they would sell mortgages to people who couldn't pay for any of it, that was one of the subplots of this thing. But when you watch the documentary, which eventually leads into Patrick Byrne, who had a huge, well, small company, but was making billions of dollars every year and increasing. He was a real smart guy. He came from the rich levels, so he went to court against them. And it took years to get any congressman interested. Finally, they got Senator Bennett, who actually is the guy in the beginning of All the President's Men, that movie about 1976, Woodward and Bernstein. They're noticing Mr. Bennett, who was a Mormon, had some interesting involvement with the Watergate scene. So that you'll see him writing the name Bennett down. Well, Bennett stays in Congress, and he keeps going on. Mae Brussels exposed him a lot. He was part of the Mormon Mafia, which was around Howard Hughes. But they finally got him to help them. So he seriously tried to help them make get it to be an issue in Congress, but it went eventually they had to go to the Security and Exchange Commission, and the guy said, yeah, we'll help you. And then the week later he comes back, no, we can't help you. It's impossible. So there was a real stonewall at the SEC level and a department called DTCC. So these guys were above it all, and they knew you couldn't stop this endless typing, which made fake profits that destroyed the little people. And so all they did was keep typing and selling and exchanging and multiplying the shares, and nobody kept track of who got what. But maybe every now and then someone in the tax people say, did you make any money this year? Yeah, I made $4 billion. Okay, well, give me your little receipt. So they'd make us some receipts. So this went, now this is what Baudrillard is describing. He says the simulation becomes more real than the object. Well, this virtual typing digital economy became way bigger.